You're listening to Radio Influence.
My goal in life is ready for the new children. I think they're aware that they're
completely
red. It was very, very weird because I felt like it's
no longer with us.
One day I was playing rugby and I got really, really hurt after a game. And the next day I wasn't able to stand up, walk, you know, move my neck. It was terrible. So my dad told me that there was a guy on our neighborhood who was supposedly able to heal. He said that he was not going to heal me. He said basically that I was going to heal myself only if I believe it. He started waving his hand on the parts where I was really, really sore. My neck, my finger, and it was very, very weird because I felt like a scanner, and he was not even touching me, and I felt like this energy, I don't know, it was something very weird. He started putting pressure with his three fingers on my back, and the temperature started changing from cold to warm. It was incredible. In 5 minutes, all the pain that I had was gone.
According to research presented in August 2005 by the University of Chicago, children born in the beginning of the 1980s are showing two newly identified genes. These two genes, called microcephalin and ASPM, are thought to regulate brain growth and appear to have undergone strong natural selection since the human and chimpanzee lineages split between 5 million and 7 million years ago. Only 70% of these children have one of these genes, while the other 30% show both. Does this percentage represent a new stage in human evolution, or is it evidence of some other natural phenomenon? These individuals are known as the new children.
Let me tell you why you're here.
You have 210-story office buildings.
We just witnessed some kind of...
You don't find a desk.
Secondary.
You don't find a chair.
Follow-up explosion on the World Trade Center.
You don't find a telephone.
Some kind of explosion. A lot of smoke come out of the top.
110 stories high. They are no longer there.
The building collapsed to dust.
To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. This is your last chance.
I would ask.
After this, there is no turning back.
Once all the facts are out,
you take the blue pill.
For your understanding.
The story ends.
And for your forgiveness.
You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want.
Media is the...
You take the red
nervous
pill.
Nervous system of a democracy.
You stay in Wonderland.
If it's not functioning well, the democracy can't function.
And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
The democracy
red
can't
pill.
Function.
The red pill.
Take the red pill.
You have to let it all go.
Take the red pill.
Fear.
911truth.org. WhatReallyHappened.com.
You just believe.
WTC7.net.
Free your mind.
Take the red pill.
Couldn't hear that beer. It was a twist off.
What's going on, internet?
A dangerous conversation right here at radioinfluence.com live Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern. In the time of our Lord. What's going on? Is that my microphone?
Hang on.
It's like an old car. Sometimes you just gotta kick it. You know? Just walk right up to it and Bruce Lee it. Enter the Dragon. We'll see how we do. It doesn't look like it's... Sounds like it's misbehaving. It's like one channel wants to work, and the other channel... I'm sitting here looking at these fancy LEDs in the dark here. All right, welcome, you know, as usual, we'll make it work. Home studio. That's how it works. Welcome to D.C., and I've heard the phrase Indigo Children. I've seen a couple different documentaries and people that actually made movies. And it's a very new agey kind of phrase. New children, indigo children, crystal children. And it's been examined for, since the mid-90s, late 90s, we started hearing that phrase. So it's about 20 years old. And a lot of people say it has to do with the children born after, you know, the late 70s and a total harmonic convergence that was taking place. And you know what? Hang on a sec. You know what? Eventually you're going to get to what I think might be going on. But it is a fascinating conversation because, hang on, boys and girls. Hello. You hear that? That funky thing. Can you hear that in your ears? Here I am trying to make it more palatable. Palate. Hello. Hello-able. And all I'm getting is, yeah, that's way too. They always say drive it hard. Back it off on the ass end. I know. It's audio processing and sex. Here we go. Clappity clap. Okay, there we go. When you look at Hollywood and how Hollywood treats the evolution of a species, I mean, it's everywhere. X-Men, huge franchise. Quantum Leap, low-budget TV show, but you know, the whole idea of us being able to bend space-time and travel back and basically step outside the three-dimensional gravitational Newtonian physics that keeps everything where we think it should be, and that's how we explain our existence. But, you know, when the ice caps melted in Waterworld, Kevin Costner, he didn't just develop gills. There was a couple of people before him. Generational change happens all the time. I mean, we can look back and see how we've gotten taller in the last couple hundred years. I mean, that is nothing. That is what, 10 generations, maybe about 25 years, 20, 25 years is a generation. So 200 years is about 10 generations. And we're almost a foot taller than we used to be. That's pretty impressive for only a 200-year change as to our species and what we're capable of. AC's running. It's kind of hot out, so... The door open. Where'd you go, Lado? Wait a minute. Dog's bored. She's in the other room. You know, we have this big, we have a much larger brain than we used to have, a frontal lobe. You know how we did that? Do you know how that came to be? We discovered fire. And after you discover fire, you can cook your food. And if your food is already processed by heat and your stomach doesn't have to work so hard to break it down, your blood flow goes elsewhere than your stomach, and guess what? You get a bigger brain. All because we discovered fire. So people that are quick to shoot this down, geez, I mean, seriously, just look at the amount of, I mean, insects have very short lifespans. Therefore, each generation is only, you know, a month or two or a couple of weeks, or, you know, cicadas are every, 17 years, and mayflies live about a week, and bees live a week. And if those insects are constantly reproducing and their genetics are having to constantly adapt to their surroundings, we see generational change in insects in our lifetime. It's not taking hundreds of thousands of years. You know, I know in the movies they say, you know, it's a gradual, and then suddenly there's a big leap like in the X-Men where suddenly, but guess what? That opening audio I played you is true. there is a growing segment of newborn children on the planet that are carrying chromosomes we didn't have. Now, everybody talks about ADHD. Everybody's talking about vaccines. Everybody's talking about GMO foods. Think about GMO foods. When were GMO foods introduced? If you want to change the genetics of something, you change the genetics of what it consumes, and of course it changes it. This is why people are weary of GMOs, because you and I are the fucking guinea pigs, in case you haven't figured that out yet. And now, I haven't even touched the metaphysical and the spiritual side and the auras. We've got a lot of audio. This is going to be an interesting concept tonight. I've always wanted to do a show on this. And, you know, I have this checklist of shows I want to do. And I'm like, yeah, let's do these Indigo Kids I keep hearing about. And let's hit it from both sides, the skepticism of people like Weiss and Anderson Cooper. And let's hit it from the believers and people that actually think they are. And then a very interesting explanation, I think, comes from someone else that goes metaphysical. So there's a lot of different ways to look at this, but if you were to just look at it the way I'm approaching it, simple biology, we're changing. Again, my parents were 5'3", 5'7". My brothers and I are 6 foot tall. A generational change does not take place over hundreds of thousands of years. It can easily take place in a generation or two. Everybody knows what male pattern baldness is. These are things that are passed on. The genetic codes are passed on, but they are constantly morphing and changing due to what? Their surroundings. How much? I don't know. You know, melanin in your skin. African Americans and black, what we call black people from with African roots, are simply, they were around the equator for hundreds of thousands of years, and the best way to not get a sunburn is to grow more or to actually have more melanin surface in your skin, unlike the Scandinavians who were up, you know, farther latitudes towards the top of the planet. Therefore, they had lighter skin. Therefore, their genetics are slightly altered because of their surroundings. This is knowledge. This has already been proven. But now we're getting into what we're calling evolutionary leaps, prodigies. Have you seen the videos of the little four-year-olds, you know, picking up a violin and just ripping off about 10 minutes of Beethoven? And have you, I mean, the sick amount of talent in such a tiny little child. Doesn't that make you wonder where that came from? Were they born with that? Is that a chromosomal leap? Or was it some type of spiritual leap? We'll get to that later. You know, the incarnation and what you used to be, and that's what I mean by a cool explanation as to what might be going on both sides of the veil. We'll save that till later. But this is a fascinating topic because Big Pharma's involved. ADHD, you know, I used to stare out third grade, Miss Sheriffs. Great looking teacher, and I had a crush on her. But she wasn't that fascinating. You know what's fascinating? Outside, looking out the windows, daydreaming. Scott, pay attention. You know what? All my mom had to do is say, pay attention in class, and I would a little bit more. But you know what? You know what? I was fucking 8 years old. I didn't want to sit in a room in a chair for six straight hours or recess and lunch. And there were things that was easy, you know, reading and you know, the essentials, that learning part, that's cool. You know, you pass your test, but I'm eight. I don't want to sit in a lecture. I daydream. They used to call it daydreaming. Now it's ADHD. Or it's social inequity disorder. It means you're fucking shy. Now, that's partly on mom and dad. Maybe that's the social structure of your family. You know, and you got, you know, if you have five, six brothers and sisters and you got to fight for attention at the dinner table, you're not going to be a shy person. So when you start mingling outside the family, you're probably going to do pretty good socially. But if you're an only child and there's tons more than there used to be, and you don't know how to share, and you don't know how to relate yet, and you're afraid to say something, or you're afraid of ridicule, or anything else, well, now there's a new disorder, and of course there's a fucking pill. And you're 6, 7, 8 years old. Maybe you have amazing gifts, and they're being squelched by a pill. So I'm not a big fan of anybody that automatically looks at a six-year-old that says, I can see angels. You know what? Maybe you can, maybe you can't, and I know what? You're six. As long as you're not trying to sell me a book, and we'll get into that, by the way. Anytime there's money involved, be skeptical. Be extra skeptical. Be skeptical all the time, but definitely be skeptical anytime. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm an indigo child, and I have indigo paintings. There's indigo bands. Did you know that? I didn't know there were. A couple of rap groups. Maybe they're trying to cash in on the whole phrase. Are you an indigo? How many indigos in the crowd? We'll play some of that later if I get a chance. So it seems like any time a phrase is a description of something, someone's going to run with it. And it just goes with the territory. That's how it goes. But I don't know. When a four-year-old is sitting there doing quantum math on a blackboard, it makes you wonder where the hell that's coming from. If everything our brain is what we're born with, and everything we have to absorb and learn, how does the five-year-old rip off Beethoven's Fifth Symphony on the piano? How does that happen? How does Rain Man be able to count 87 toothpicks? What is going on in the brain? The brain's operating differently. Is it a bad brain? Is it defective? Maybe it's an evolutionary brain. Maybe it's a step where we're headed. And they're leaving some social skills behind because the brain is going, all right, we're going to concentrate on some heavy shit now. Time-space continuum. I'm sorry, space-time continuum. Think about it. Are these children out to con you? Are their parents? Are their parents weary of someone going, your child's got ADHD and blah, 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 and here's 16 pills, and they'll be fine. And then you just turn your kid into a zombie because your kid's a little different? What's wrong with celebrating the difference and saying, you know what? I don't like the word special because everybody wants to think their kids are special. In your heart and their mind, yes, of course they're special to you. They better be. They're your fucking kids. But if you use the word special all the time, then nothing is special. My dog is somewhere applying. I can hear her lapping. She's laying on the floor. It's nice and cool. So let's hear a little of this piece. We're going to play quite a bit of audio tonight. I got some stories I want to hit that aren't about this, but I really want to kind of focus on this for a while. This is a fascinating topic. When he gets into, you know, did we all have imaginary friends when we were kids? Yes. That's George. He's sitting in the corner. Well, mom and dad can't see George, but they play along. What if some guy used to be known as George is literally sitting there in some type of metaphysical presence, and this little six-year-old can see him? You can't prove it's not happening. Did you know they photograph auras now? I didn't know it. Maybe it's a con. Maybe it's one of those little special meters like Scientology, you know. I'm not saying they can't. I'm not saying they can. Anderson Cooper is going to cover that in the piece we play next. But I want you to listen to a little bit more of this. It's like a mini doc. It's called The New Children, Indigo Children, Crystal Children. Again, I kind of want to wrap this up later on, what I think is probably a solid 8 minutes of what might be happening. And the whole idea of labeling anybody new or special or indigo is probably us searching for answers as to what's going on, but I'm not sure we really need to go there. And I kind of agree with the audio you're going to hear later, but let's check a little of this out right now.
Because of the supposed color of their auras and crystals, because some say they are highly developed, and so forth.
The new children are a group of intuitive children. They began being seen in great numbers beginning about 1978. They're all psychic children. They all have...
I don't want to do a lot of stop and start, but think about it. When did GMOs and high amounts of chemicals and pesticides and other things be introduced into our bodies on a regular basis? If our bodies are going to go through some type of chromatic change and do it in a single two or three generations. What caused that? I mean, you know, spiritual people will say, well, it's time, and there was a convergence, and these are the new souls, and or old souls being, I do want to dance on that some. But I also want to go at it a little skeptical at first, and then for those of you that are hardcore believers, I'll satisfy your need later.
The ability to heal on some level. They can see people who are no longer with us.
I realized I was different from a very early age with many supernatural occurrences happening. Psychic abilities, abilities to see what hasn't happened yet.
I put the hand over the pain and like an angel comes, I don't know what he is. He puts the hand over your hand and it makes the pain go away, which is laughing.
I can tell how someone's feeling even if I'm not talking to them, or I can pick up on people's energy just like that. I can tell if someone's intentions are good or bad.
If my mom is mad, then her aura will turn completely red. No whites, no blues, no nothing, just red.
Skeptics might argue that the whole topic gives false hope to parents of children with mental disorders. However, 30% of the children match standard IQ test scores of 150 to 160.
Think about that. 30% of these children claiming, or parents claiming, are popping IQs quite substantially above normal.
While the IQ of the average person falls between 90 and 110, and the classification of genius begins around 130, this is an unprecedented leap in intelligence, with no genetic markers to account for it. So, if 3 out of 10 children have these genes, why don't we see them?
Indigo children have been diagnosed quite frequently with ADD or ADHD, and of course medical solution to that is to medicate the children, and the medication is really making them lose their life's purpose, what they came here to do. They are no longer able to be sensitive, and they lose the whole essence of what it is to be an indigo when they're on medication. Crystal children are...
Maybe, you know, the indigo label is simply... you want to go lay down, baby? Go ahead. Much like dolphins in their sonar that they developed, they weren't born with it. You know, a couple thousand, 100,000 years ago, that sonar that we now know dolphins have on the front of their brain that we don't have is a developed addition. It is a, it's not a quantum leap, but it's an evolutionary leap. Well, maybe sensitivity in children, you know, oh, why does your child get so emotional all the time? Well, he feels deeply. Or, you know, when people say, oh, you're raising a wuss. Well, what if on the sensitivity scale of their brain in the way they perceive everything, emotions, sadness, happiness, what if it's all amplified? What if the next generational leap is simply a brain that's more intuitive to its surroundings? Doesn't mean you can necessarily count the toothpicks automatically. It doesn't mean you've got autistic type of function. But what it could mean is what we're looking at, and maybe we're causing it ourselves, maybe it's video games. There's a lot of theories on this as to why kids are becoming more intuitive. And there is a leap, and there is about a 30% increase in intelligence in newborns past that date. But, as you can tell, they're not real big pharma fans either, because they talk about it killing the sensitivities of these children.
Frequently diagnosed with being autistic or having Asperger's syndrome. And I think the main cause of this is the fact that the children, they learn to talk a lot later than normal kids because they have telepathic abilities, and they don't need to speak to their parents to let them know what's going on. Their parents just know. And when they go,
that's a reach. That's when you need parents to come on in. This is when you, by the way, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about the topic today as I was driving, and I was like, you know, we've got video cameras now. We've got, you know, ways where you can document behaviors. We can keep a log and go, you know, he just predicted this, or you get it on video, you know. He predicted a tornado, and the next day there was a tornado. And he's, you know what, if you think your child is gifted, let's do some scientific gathering of content. Because the reason people are having problems reaching, at least trying to go halfway on this topic, is because there's not a lot of science to back it yet. I'm not talking about predicting earthquakes. I'm talking about if, little Bobby said grandma was in the room and you're videotaping it, what did grandma say? And suddenly Bobby says a phrase that grandma used to say when she was 10, and there's no way Bobby would know that phrase. You now have it documented on video. And I think that's going to be part of what our next generational leap is. You've heard many stories about the Dalai Lama and how he was able to identify previously owning objects of the previous Dalai Lama, who, of course, had died, and they're trying to, you know, validate the reincarnation. And there's an argument here with this as well when it comes to reincarnation. And again, what I think is a great little 8-minute speech brings that into play as well. We're going to hit the metaphysical side later. What I'm talking about is if you think this is a child that has a gift, you know what? Everybody's got a phone. Everybody's got a camera. Everybody can write down when something was said. You can back it up. You can research it. You can get more in one source. If you want to be taken seriously in these conversations by the average fence sitter, not the one who's willing to take the leap and go, you know what? I can believe that. Not those people. The status quo people. If you want to make them curious about these things, everything, oh, yeah, they're, you know, they can communicate with their parents. That's why they talk later in life. You know what? We need some documentation of this. And that's what I'm hoping that we'll see in the next probably 2 decades, next 20 years.
Go out in the world and they have other caregivers, they start to think there's something wrong with this child because he's not talking. But in his home life or her home life, she didn't need to speak because her parents just knew what the child needed.
If these children have intellectual potential, why isn't it reflected in our society?
I think the educational system in America limits each individual because it forces them to only learn certain bits of each category without allowing them to choose what they want to learn.
This is a vital, massively vital conversation this woman's having about her child, because I'm not a big fan of the school system because it's memorization. It's not challenging you to think for yourself, because that's when teachers would come in and say, well, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. What do you think? Well, let me see. I take one and one and I get, you know what? I agree with that because I thought through it. I didn't memorize it. Everything now is memorized and tests and you know, the educational system is the dumbing down of America. It's not an accident. Separate conversation. I'm talking about the individual child who shows up and wants to finger paint. And they don't want to talk, and they don't want to play dodgeball, but their finger paintings are of fractals. But Junior doesn't fit in, therefore Junior's got to be on meds, because mom and dad are more worried socially about their child's acceptance outside of their family than saying, like what this woman's saying, you know what? If my child leans this way, I'm going to stand by my child. If my child is all about math, Winnie Cooper, remember the golden, the Wonder Years? She didn't even know she was great at math. Guess what? She has her own theorem. She has her name on some math equation that's kicking ass. And she had no idea she had that inside her head. Because she was an actress and she was worried about her career. And she went to college and everybody was like, hey, where's Kevin? Hey, Winnie. And she started taking math tests and she just absolutely excelled. Well, what happens when you got a 7-year-old who's not paying attention? Everybody else is sitting there with their hands on their lap, like a good little, you know. And your child's looking out the window, seeing unicorns. I don't know. What's wrong with that? Are we squelching the next generational change? I mean, with drugs and fearful parents? I am not convinced completely that these children are as gifted as many of them say they are, because it's kind of the runaway word now and everyone's jumping on it. Oh, I'm indigo. Oh, you're indigo. I'm indigo. Okay, well, according to the document, only 30% of you are. But it's a buzzword. It's even, like I said, there's musical acts talking about this. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying that take it all with a grain of salt.
Children apply themselves to a very stringent set of rules and criteria in order to succeed in school that not every children knows how to apply themselves to, even if they're very, very intelligent.
I don't think the educational system in America is ready for the new children. I think they're aware that there are new children, that there is a difference in some of the children that are coming through their halls. I think they quickly need to adapt to allowing these children to have input to take part in the democratic process within the school walls.
In the sixth grade, I felt it necessary to read the entire code of conduct for the county just so I know what the rules and guidelines are. I have no issue following them. It's just I need to make sure that the adults go along with them as well.
Let's do, let's go on the other side of this. That's very pro, and I do want some skepticism. I think I've got Anderson Cooper right here.
They call them indigo children. They have high IQs, heightened intuition, and some claim they can see dead people. Tonight, are these kids being manipulated by their parents, or is there something to their unusual claims? This is Anderson Cooper 360.
A question for you tonight. How can you tell if your child is gifted or has a disorder? We ask you that because some parents and even some doctors believe that a number of children today are gifted with psychic powers. They call them indigo children and say that some of these kids can even see the spirits of the dead. Now, believing in spirits is not that unusual. A third of Americans do, according to a recent Gallup poll. But saying that these children have psychic powers, well, it takes it to a whole other level. Some doctors say the kids have shown symptoms of attention deficit disorder, not psychic powers. Tonight, CNN's Gary Tuchman introduces you to some of the so-called indigo children. And, well, you can judge for yourself.
Paula, what's your problem? At 14 years of age, you go through a really rebellious time, and that's what she...
Through the lens on her computer's camera, 17-year-old Sandy Bershad communicates with friends across the world.
That's Eric. He's from Sweden.
But from her bedroom on the Jersey Shore, Sandy says she is wired into another universe, a sort of supernatural superhighway.
Your dead grandmother visited you last night.
Uh-huh.
In your bedroom?
Uh-huh.
And what did she say to you?
Just to say hello, that she loves me, that kind of thing. She usually just comes to visit. Her energy is very, like, nice. Like,
when people, as long as there's no book, as long as there's no speaking tour, as long, you know, I don't know, maybe you're going to sell a T-shirt or something. I'm just a little weary when, if your grandmother tells you to keep doing this and then and you go, oh, and you fall back asleep. What I'm weary of is when your grandmother tells me what to do with my life and now suddenly, yeah, my dead grandmother saw you and she said you should do, okay. Then you get kind of weary. You've got to stay skeptical because I think if these were 1 in 10,000 children, I'd say, wow, these little buggers really stick out in the crowd, don't they? But now we get a lot of people saying they are. And that sounds like some people are piling on and maybe not everybody is what they say. And that's when like I said earlier, you need to start documenting that you're indigo. Really? All right. Document every conversation, document every video, document it. If you say, oh yeah, I'm chatting with someone from Australia and I told them blah, blah, his dead grandma, you know, and then he came back 2 weeks later and said, oh my God, you're absolutely right. Document it. Or vice versa, when you were way off target and not even close, document it. You've got to get, if you want science behind what people are starting to lean more towards, the possibility of the evolution of consciousness and maybe even the brain at the same time, then I suggest you really do your homework.
Healing.
Sandy, who spends a lot of her time on the beach, believes that guiding spirits surround her.
So right now you see angels?
Yes.
And where are they?
They're over here.
Over here?
Yeah.
Like near my shoulder?
Yeah.
It may sound like science fiction, but a growing network of believers say these types of visions are fact. Teens like Sandy claim they're part of a special generation born after 1978, known as Indigo Children, for the deep blue auras that psychics say they see around them. Indigo Children have high IQs and tend to be rebellious and oversensitive. They're often also said to share special gifts, heightened...
High IQ will automatically lead to rebellion, just so you know. Okay, that means you're going to think your way through what, you know, a government or a religion or anything else is going to tell you. You will automatically rebel against the status quo because of your intelligence quotient. And what was the other one? High IQ.
Rebellious and oversensitive.
Rebellious, oversensitive. You know what oversensitive means? That you're publicly vocal about some bullshit. I think that's horrible. I think the way they're treating that animal in the zoo is, oh, you're oversensitive. No. I'm in tune to more than just some average human vibration of my brain. I'm actually paying attention to something outside of me, and I care about it. Or opposite. Something inside of me is moving me powerfully, and the emotions are overwhelming me. And guess where that comes from? My own perception of reality. Now, these people have existed for a long, long time. But have they existed in the numbers that they say now are taking place? We've always had intuitives, people. We've always had prodigies. There's always been someone... And again, the prodigy could be some type of reincarnation, spiritually inclined, where you're born already knowing something. Maybe not. I don't know. The concepts are fascinating. This is a pretty good report. It gets into, you know what, the first 5 minutes, and we're about 2.5 in, really kind of cover the topic, and then later on it's all about aura. Aura photography, and it's a little boring. So I'm going to let this roll for about 2.5. Be right back.
They're often also said to share special gifts, heightened intuition, and psychic abilities.
She's one of them, isn't she?
Excuse me?
An indigo, like my son.
In recent years, the indigo phenomenon has made its way into movies, books, websites, and even to the therapist's office.
They will say, I've heard that you deal with indigo children or children who are highly sensitive. Can you help me with my child?
You think? I don't know.
Psychotherapist Julie Rosenshine says parents seek her help with kids they believe are indigos, many of whom have trouble socializing and paying attention in school.
Usually I'll get an email that will say, my child is having meltdowns, she can't sleep at night, she says that she sees things in her room, can you help me?
And what do you say?
I usually say, wow, you're seeing something at night? Do you know that sometimes angels visit at night? And their eyes will sometimes cloud up with tears even, maybe, because it's the first time that anybody really affirmed for them that what they saw was not crazy, did not make them crazy.
I'm not really sure exactly what she has.
Sandy's parents, Tom and Marjorie Burchard, say from an early age their daughter was highly intuitive and overly sensitive and has never liked to be touched.
Do you believe she sees dead people and angels?
I believe that she sees something. What it is, I don't know. But I believe that she's definitely seeing something.
Are there ever times, Sandy, where you wish you were just like the more typical kids and didn't have any of these kinds of visions or spirits or anything like that?
No, life wouldn't be interesting then.
Sandy says she is less depressed and doing better in school since discovering her indigo roots. But skeptics warn that being indigo may really mean just having a colorful imagination or attention deficit disorder.
You take highly misbehaving children and who are very, very bright, many of them are, and call them as indigo children. And I think it's a stab at trying to apply a more positive label to these children rather than the more pejorative terms like ADHD or oppositional defiant disorder.
Oppositional defiant disorder, otherwise known as thinking for yourself. Think about where the world is. Think about, you know, two political parties. Every single time we drop a bomb on another country in a society, in a culture we know nothing about, we all just bury it. We don't pay attention to it because we don't want to oppose the mainstream. We're afraid to step out and go, you know what? That's bullshit. We should stop that. That's operational. What's it called? That's a big one.
ADHD or oppositional defiant disorder.
Oppositional defiant disorder. Now, when you're raising a 10-year-old and you're a parent and the kid goes, why? And you say, because I said so. And he goes, why? Okay, that's parenting. And you're going to go through that because the child is starting to grow independent. It happens. It happens in adolescence. It definitely happens in their teens. And it most certainly happens in their 20s. It is healthy to disagree with your parents. It is healthy for a parent to disagree with a preacher or a church. It is healthy to not automatically take what you're told as gospel. And there's a name for it now. Those are the kids. You know what? I'd love to have a summer camp of a whole bunch of these crazy guys, the so-called crazy kids, and just go, you know what? You guys are amazing. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you think the universe is. Tell me what you think you are. I don't care. There's no wrong answer. And just surround yourself with this intelligence and articulation and unspoiled. That's what happens when you get older and you know, I'm so jaded. When was the last time you had an original thought that you're like, oh, geez, you know. Can't say that out loud. Man, my poker buddies would just give me shit all day. Can't say, oh, man, you know, I mean, man. We're so wanting to be accepted that we have forgotten that disagreement is healthy. And now we give it disorders, and now we give six-year-olds pills. And this is one of these fucks that wants this, right here, this guy. You got kids? Never going to be an easy job raising them. The moment you say, let's pop a pill in him or her, you're starting to give up. And it could be diet, and it could be lack of exercise, and it could be toxins, and it could be a lot of things. But you know what it's not? I'll tell you what it's not.
And the more pejorative terms like ADHD or oppositional defiant disorder.
It's not. Okay? Trust yourself. Ask a lot of questions. Document it. Who knows? Maybe the next Einstein's going to be laying in your crib, and you didn't squash that brain before it had a chance to just blossom into the next generational leap of knowledge, forethought, and who knows? Maybe it's connected to what many people think is a spiritual journey for the consciousness. And again, I don't want this show to be too heavy on that, but I will hit that in the last 20, 30 minutes of the show because I think there are two things going on, both physical and metaphysical. And yes, they're interrelated, and yes, they quite positively could be reincarnated geniuses from the past. How do you explain the five-year-old knowing Beethoven and just stepping up and playing it? Where is that imprinted in that little child's brain? Maybe mom listened to Beethoven when she was pregnant. I don't know. But yes, we have, and again, I'm into the skepticism. But the moment they start saying, oh, it's this and it's that, and take a pill, and the dollar signs start ringing up, and you see more and more parents, confused parents, not knowing what to do, and suddenly their kid's on two pills and 7 years old. Is that our potential? Is that our future? Is that who we're supposed to be? No fucking way.
Marjorie, when a doctor says there's no such thing as indigo children, it's just a label that parents are putting on kids who have ADD or some other condition.
I disagree.
In my heart of hearts, I disagree. I've seen too many things.
Okay, well, come on back.
Dr. Trent Nichols is a gastroenterologist in Pennsylvania who treats children for extreme food sensitivities. He believes that up to 3% of those he sees are indigo kids.
I think we are seeing children that really seem to be way advanced for their years, or sensitive to certain things, or sensitive about other things in their environment. And I see this in some of my patients now. I don't think we saw it before. I don't remember it 30 years ago doing that, because I've been a physician since 69.
So you think something's going on here?
Yeah, I think something, but it's hard to say what.
So the claims of...
Okay, so it could be our surroundings. It could be GMO. Hey, listen. When you eat a genetically altered salmon, do you know how they make those? They take the Chinook salmon, and then they take this eel. This eel has the genetics to grow very large in a short period of time, and they actually take the DNA of the eel and put it in the salmon. And now you're going to eat that. And you've got genetically altered DNA entering your body. All we had to do was cook our meat as cavemen and our brains altered. All we had to do was cook our meat and change the blood flow in our bodies and our brains altered. And if you're not curious about what the fuck you're putting in your stomach, and it just happens that all the babies being born now are starting to become oversensitive, highly intuitive. Do you think it's a coincidence? Because it's not. At least in my world, it's not. But that's a GMO conversation. But you have doctors starting to recognize a couple of things in the kids. The high sensitivity to something, an area, a vibration, a food. Or how about the intelligence quotient going way up? These kids are, what did he say, wiser past their years?
People that these could be a special group, indigo children, can't be rejected out of hand.
Right.
Inhale, peace. Exhale.
Psychics claim that indigo children have indigo-colored energy fields or auras around them.
Smile, good.
We asked a woman who claims she can take pictures of your aura to come to the Bershads' home and snap some shots of Sandy and me with her so-called aura camera.
That's the center of your being, and you do have transformation coming in.
In my photograph, there was a little indigo color, but in Sandy's, indigo dominated the picture. So are indigos really the next step in human evolution, as many believers suggest? If you have any doubts, Sandy says, just ask her angels.
It is such a catchphrase, and you know, with the amount of books and Oprah's, I think I even have an Oprah segment here that I have saved in tabs, and you know, when you're listening to her interview a 7-year-old, and that 7-year-old is just speaking, I know Stephen Hawking. You know, you think of the young, intelligent children. When they were very young and their parents always said, oh, yeah, he was talking at 1 and reading at 2 and walking, you know, and you realize that there's some type of head start that they had in their brain. And it's undeniable. Well, now, because of the Internet, we're seeing so many more. We're hearing so many more. There are people making a lot more claims. And I think it's healthy again. Not that I'm a big fan of Anonymous. The reason why is because they have like a 45-second intro to their videos now. Now, I'm sure there's computer geeks in Anonymous, if Anonymous is legit. And they're actually, you know, oh, man, let's do this. And this will be like Cecil B. DeMille's. And, oh, man, Scorsese would love that edit and blah, blah, blah. You know what? The more polished a so-called rogue organization gets, the more I become suspicious of who they really are and where they're really at. But an interesting message, literally from Anonymous, to the indigo children of the world. Check this out. Oh, yeah, there's the expect us. I should have narrated. I should just let it roll, like, you know. Not the tumor.
Attention, indigo, crystal, and rainbow children of the world.
Greetings from Anonymous. We are contacting you today as there are those who say you and those like you are here to usher in the new era, an era of peace and enlightenment. It has been said you are here to challenge the tyranny that has so long plagued our world, to rise up against injustice and make way for a new, harmonious world. However, the planet seems to be going in the other direction. Corporations have corrupted nearly every government in the world. Our politicians are controlled by money. The people who are sworn to protect us are now killing us. Greed and indifference are glorified while generosity and tolerance are mocked. The media are nothing more than pawns in a world where our fundamental right to knowledge and expression are being censored. Children are starving in the streets. The elderly are homeless, cold and hungry. Things are only going to get worse. The time for talking is over. It is time for action. No longer can we turn a blind eye to uncensored greed and corruption. No longer can we afford the luxury of not paying attention to the world around us. Our futures, and our children's futures depend on it. We must act now. We must take to the streets. We must take to the internet. We must let the powers that be know that this is our world and will not sit idly by as they enslave and destroy it. Many believe Anonymous is nothing more than a group of hacker activists. This is not exactly true. Anonymous is not a group or organization per se. There is no central leadership. There is no membership. There is no one sole purpose behind our actions. Rather, we are a movement.
Why is it? Isn't this message for the Indigo kids? You haven't mentioned them yet.
An idea. We are everyone and we are no one. We are anyone who wishes to stand up against injustice. We are the past.
You know what this is called? This is like sneaking by. This is called sneaking by the bouncer.
Hang on.
Apologies for sound. Working on it. This is like sneaking by the bouncer. Yeah, you got one guy who's got a real ID and two that don't. And they just kind of, they sneak by him. Anonymous, this is not about you, so you got about 10 seconds to bring up the Indigo Kids or you're done.
By who records police brutality on their phone. We are the reporter who exposes a corrupt politician. We are your friend that constantly posts activists' posts and news stories on social media. We are the protesters in the streets and, yes, sometimes we are the hackers taking down terrorist websites. We believe that the Indigo Children can add greatly to our movement. To help us achieve a better world for everyone, join the cause today. Stand up for what?
It's a recruiting commercial for Indigo Kids. Hey there, Indigo. You ever think about joining Anonymous? Man, we got a great incentive package and wow. Well, you know what? Everybody's got to recruit, right? Religion's been doing it for millennia, so, you know, Anonymous needs to catch up. I'll cut them some slack. I thought that might have been a way of actually reaching out and maybe not necessarily believing that this Indigo phenom is actual and verifiable, but a little bit more of, wow, this is kind of fascinating, and you guys, we'd like to help you get your message out. So I don't see that. I don't see that. I'm looking for the Vice one. I think that's this one. I'm pretty sure.
In moments like this, you want to...
Well, that's commercial, I think. Yep, I got the Vice one. Now, the Vice one is, I would say, like Vice, if you've ever seen them. They're going to come in skeptical, good for them. And they usually like to find someone who makes a claim that they can't verify, and they do. I don't know how much I want to play. This is like a 25-minute piece, and I don't want to play all that. So let me just see if I can find how he interviews. And the reason I wanted to play that one segment is, let me see if he's sitting in the room. There we go. Right to there. Okay.
Indigos are a leaderless group, but Edward, the man I'm about to meet, is at least the leader of the New York City Indigo meetup group.
Okay, when you got an Indigo meetup group, I don't know. You know, is there some type of fee? Is someone paying $10 every time they come in your door? Those are the fears every single time, is the monetization of something that probably doesn't need to be monetized. If you're talking about some type of phenom where you and a small group of 5 to 7 people are sitting in a room and you truly are intuitive and the things you say you are, then why the fuck would you give about money? Don't you wouldn't see that coming? a mile away where someone else goes, oh, yeah, you're, yeah. So I'm always worried about the meetup groups. I'm worried about someone who's at a psychic fair. I'm always worried because, listen, I know people need to make money. But if you want to be considered authentic and gifted for a while, try not to monetize your gift, quote unquote, your gift, okay? And the reason I say that is something like this right here.
So perhaps he'll have some ideas.
Edward claimed to be on an intense spiritual journey, which was in part why his apartment contained no furniture. He first diagnosed himself indigo over a decade earlier, after an online test.
Hello, Edward. I'm Gavin. I've come over from England to search about indigo children. I gather you're the boss of the NYC meetup group for indigos.
Yes, I'm the founder.
So what are the key indigo traits?
Highly psychic or intuitive. Many of them will capable of healing other people, whether emotionally or energetically or physically. Non-conformity to anything from school to parents to jobs. That is why many of them out of place. They're just plain simple different. There is no label to it. It's not ADD or ADHD. It's just a different vibrational, energetical type of a person. The whole notion of indigos, the whole idea is pretty much to change the way of the world in every aspect.
Mm. And what are you here to do?
You can come in. You see, the thing about making the claim of the intuitiveness and the psychic abilities, why not just speak your piece about the world and what you think could be taking place? Why do you have to say, I'm coming in, I'm an indigo child, and you need to listen to me because I'm an indigo child, and now the world needs to do this, 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 and this? Why not just come in and say, hey, have you seen the perfect cycle in green energy and growing algae fuel? Have you seen how that ties in with everything in nature and the universe? Wouldn't it make sense to do this or that? Or you come up with a new formula for hydrogen fuel. Why label? See, this is why, and Vice will do this. And I'm not saying they shouldn't, because for every legitimate person out there, there's 10 con men. So I can't say this guy is and isn't, but he's about to make a claim that he has an ability. And of course, when the cameras are rolling, nothing.
Definitely. My spiritual journey to help people, to bring that change individually as well as on a group level through spiritual awakening, conscious awakening, and change all the patterns you acquired one lifetime after another.
Could you perhaps read my past lives?
I will need to shut my eyes for a moment to give you an answer for that, all of that.
Edward didn't seem to be getting any information about my past life. Was that the psychic's protective boredom threshold kicking in? Even I wasn't sure.
So, okay, so it's very interesting. First of all, I am not getting any information about your past life, but still some information came through that I was told to relate to you.
Okay.
And that information actually, first of all, you are an indigo yourself. You are an indigo.
I am an indigo.
Yourself, first of all. Second of all, it is so. Find your core. Find what moves you and makes your soul and your heart sing. And
you don't have to wear the label to give that advice. You can just say, you know what? If you're not doing what you feel is true and genuine inside of you every day, you wake up and you go and you do it and it feels awesome. And if you're not doing that, go find it and go do it. You don't have to say you're an indigo. Oh, but I think for the ones that may be truly, the ones that are coming in and being born in and just having this amazing knowledge and you know, maybe they see angels, maybe they don't. But the more this word gets watered down and everybody wants to jump on, it's like new age, oh, indigo, oh, it's like, you know, especially in our country. In third world countries where they believe in reincarnation, indigo children are, that's probably where most of them that are legit probably exist, at least in my opinion anyway. So, yes, he says you're an indigo. And, oh, yes, by the way, I can see people's past lives. But today when your cameras are rolling, I can't. And that's, you know, that's what makes it different here. I want to get to the band. Because here we are with music and bands and younger people jumping on. Well, you know, in the 60s, they called you a hippie, right? And, you know, you had a piece or you had an aura, or, you know, all these things. And now they call you an indigo and you hang out in clubs and you make music and you want to label yourself something. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying you're not. But I am saying I just see the next generation grabbing something that's a keyword and running with it. It's a good little story here. I think the band is right there.
Spread its tentacles outside of the realms of psychic fairs to the hip-hop community. Together with the likes of Pro Era and Flatbush Zombies, the Underachievers are popularizers of an esoteric rap phenomenon some call Beast Coast, preaching the gospel of indigo through their music. I went to New York's Webster Hall for their homecoming show.
Anytime it's got a gospel, anytime it becomes dogmatic, anytime one person wants to give you the definition that you have to believe is taking place, you simply have another religion being formed. It's just another ism. Indigoism is actually the logo that the band has. Indigoism. It's an ism. Communism. Catholicism. Anytime it's an ism, it puts itself in a box. It limits itself. It limits you. I'm not saying a band running with it and selling some tickets and talking. And by the way, you'll hear the band talk about what they think the indigos are and what they think the responsibility of indigos are. And that's the upside of this. It's the upside. Is, you know what? They are talking about unity. They are talking about peaceful ways of ending wars and knowledge and power and empowerment. But right now, they're just a rap band selling tickets to me.
So where my motherfucking indigos at in the building? Let me hear real quick. I said, where my motherfucking indigos at in the building? Let me hear.
Hey, a rapper who are searching for treasure to take his soul. Fishing for gold, I found a key.
So was it for you guys? I don't think I'll be everywhere I'm at right now.
Yeah, for us.
You guys made me pop.
My goal is to unite our generation. I don't think that I'm going to succeed, but in the past 2 years and 3 years of us trying to do it passionately, we've come far.
And I mean, what do you think of the link between ADD and indigo? Do you think there is a case for the counter argument that, like, some kids diagnose as indigo when they should be on medication?
By the way, the vaccination thing needs to be mentioned here. Remember, vaccinations, you know, you might be able to put a small amount of cells into your body and your immune system snaps to it and builds antibodies. And that's really what immunization is about. But once you get into needing those germs to stay alive on a shelf for 5 months, and then you have to put some type of mercury product or something in there so the biological part of it stays alive, and you're worried about the shelf life of a vaccine, then you've the water's murky. I'm sorry. And we don't know. We are guinea pigs to immunization as well. We're only 4 decades in, 5 maybe. Polio a long time ago. Used to be only 5 or 6 shots in the 60s. Now it's up to 40 or 50. Cash registers are ringing. Autism's through the roof. And to not mention all of that and the questions that it creates does a disservice to my show and to this topic. I'm not saying they're related, but you know what? In 100 years, all the things we're curious about, they're going to know. And hopefully sooner. With the power of the internet. That's the beauty of knowledge is power. The more you know, the better off you are. And definitely in groups. Everybody needs a group to feel, you know, I'm an indigo. Oh, I'll see you at the show. I get it. You're 20. You're 28. You're 25. You don't necessarily know yourself completely. But, I ride my Harley. Oh, yeah, my identity is I love my Mopar. oh yeah, I'm you know, captain of the soccer team, and we all find things we're comfortable in, but in a social circle of clubs, bands, bars, rappers, there's always going to be someone grasping for the next hook. What will hook the next generation? So it's become that buzzword. So that's why I always got to take it with a grain of salt. But they do have a good conversation here, and we're going to let it take us close to break. We'll do a tune. We'll do some Carlin's Corner. Still saluting Patton Oswalt. Saw him tweet about his wife the other day and really felt for him. I think he's a great talent. We'll lighten the load, and we'll come back, and then we'll do the metaphysical side of this conversation. But check this out for a couple more.
I don't believe in ADHD.
Because when I was younger, I was, like, smart, but I was, like, very bad in class, like, mischievous. So they wanted to put me on Ritalin and, like, Adderall. Thank God for my mom. She was like, no way you do that shit. I seen that they kept telling kids that they had ADHD, a lot of kids inside of my generation. So I started to do research on it online thanks to the internet. I came across Indigo. So then I just went on a mission from then for me telling as many kids, like, yo, you're not hyperactive. You're probably Indigo. That's where it all started for me. So
you told me that.
Diagnosis Indigo.
Yeah.
But is everyone you know Indigo? Is that like a kind of a blanket statement? I mean, what percentage of your friends are Indigo?
Everyone. So like you are?
Yeah.
Like everyone is?
Everyone.
Okay.
It's because of the power of the internet, right? It's linking us up in a way that we've never been able to link up before. The Indigo shit became the universal consciousness. That's like my religion and what I believe in. And that's pretty much saying that God is the combination of every single living thing on the planet. But the problem is that we have country lines and we're divided by economic class and weight class and intelligence and color and race and culture and religion and all these different ways that are dividing us. We lose track of the connection that really keeps us together.
It's like I said, it's a label. What he just said there, you could take back to 1965 and it would be just as true then. It just has a different label on it now.
To talk about this global lattice of weirdos and creatives he was hooking up was as powerful a vision of culture as I'd heard in quite some time. Indigo or no, he was a special kid. As the night wore on, Indigo and Brandy mixed easily. I did also wonder what Indigo was doing to their health because I'd never seen so many medical marijuana prescriptions in my life.
Oh, doing to their health. Did you notice how he said the Brandy was no issue? He scrolled right by that. See, Vice used to be completely benign when it comes to an agenda. They had no agenda. Now they got money flown in. I think it's Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch, invested in Vice. And they just goes, this man, this young supposed hipster goes, I wonder what they're doing to their health with all the medical marijuana I saw. Well, do your research on cannabis and get back to me, Junior. It's amazing. I love the idea that I can go and click on my favorites and go to 20 different websites, and Vice is one of them. But I can also smell an agenda 1,000 miles away. I don't care if it's Fox or MSNBC. Oh, by the way, you know what? We should really play that for Carlin's Corner. You know what? Let's do that. Let's do the Lee Camp. I like that idea. Because Lee's going to be, talking about the mainstream media and how fucked they are and how bad, not just like I've said in previous shows and last week's show, it's not just what they lie to you about, it's what they don't tell you. Well, wait till you hear this piece. Wait till you hear what MSNBC's already out loud admitting they will do next Tuesday. And we'll play that as Carlin's Corner because, it's Lee Camp. He's a funny fucker. All right, let's go to break. We'll do a little Chris Geo, great little remix. He kind of took the old, is it Manson? Who did Hurt? I think it was Marilyn Manson. No, it was Trent Reznor. It was Nine Inch Nails. Nine Inch Nails did Hurt. Johnny Cash redid it. Chris Geo took it and ran with That Way. That's like three generations of creation. That's pretty fucking cool. More DC coming back.
Nighttime, out on the ledge.
You know what's frightening me is I'm starting to think that you're not delusional.
I'm sure you've had a dangerous conversation sometime in your lifetime.
It would help everything if you could just produce some form of identification.
We call it DC for short.
And if you'll excuse me, it's time to make the world safe for democracy.
In a way, there's no turning back, things will never be the same. Yellow ribbons turn gray, patriotic cliches, like a fatal car crash, can't seem to look away. I don't know what's before me, I've died inside, but from my rebirth I see with brand new eyes. The media lies, the government spies, free world controlled by devils in disguise. The television flickers and breaks to hypnotize, that's retained by the picture MSG supersized. Another mother cries for her son's lost life, political greed breeds another genocide. No choice is left, stand up and fight. Divided we fall, but united we survive. Now it's time to put the money and the bitches to the side. You'll never truly come up when you live a servant's life.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain.
To the grave, I'd rather die free than live like a slave. I'd rather speak my mind, I won't bite my tongue. If you think I've said it all, I haven't even begun. They bring it to your knees with disease and vaccines. Another line of credit, the American dream. Ron Paul revolution, 20 million screens. But it doesn't really matter to the voting machines. Now they censor this on YouTube, labeled it extreme. Bernanke and his lackeys, printed phony green. Hit us with inflation, annihilate the nation. No investigation of the Bush administration. Obama runs on change, Brzezinski's in his ear. The only thing that changed is the puppet in the year. They open up the borders, truth is on our shoulders. Focus on the pain, this is the new world order.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing. I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing.
Breaking the paradigm and breaking the control, tiny box reality, and seeing the wider universe around us. So there is a consciousness shift in information, analysis, and it is beautiful. And so out of this adversity, it's going to get bad. We're going to be tested. Realize that this is evil trying to maintain control.
Is it possible for you to shut the fuck up for 10 seconds?
Sex and drugs and women being set on fire.
I am a grandmaster dialectician.
You know, you guys, you're supposed to be so good at listening. You can't even remember what I said to you 2 seconds ago.
Scott Ledger.
Dangerous conversation.
MSNBC did something pretty crazy the other day. They finally revealed their true colors. The truth about their efforts to manipulate this election for Hillary Clinton against Bernie Sanders, that truth, that reality, accidentally sprayed out of Chris Matthews' out-of-control face holes.
I'm told by the experts on numbers around here at NBC and elsewhere that come June 7th, the day of the California primary, which your candidate, I totally understand, wants to get to and maybe have a chance of knocking off Hillary at that event, a big last hurrah, that at 8 o'clock that night Eastern time, the networks will be prepared, including this one, to announce that Hillary Clinton has now gotten over the top, that she will have won the nomination in numbers. It's done. What will that do to turnout if that's 5 o'clock Pacific time with 3 more hours to vote in California? Who will be least likely to vote? Sanders people from 5 to 8 people or Hillary? I've heard both theories.
First of all, by even asking this question in this way, by phrasing it like this, Matthews is hoping to suppress voting. He is saying, we already know it's over. We're going to announce it's over. Don't vote. All right? Number two, he's admitting that MSNBC plans to fraudulently declare a winner. Hillary Clinton absolutely will not be the winner on June 7th because superdelegates don't vote until the convention. You got it, Chris? You get it? So unless Bernie Sanders disappears because he got back into his time machine and returned to whichever future civilization sent him here to try desperately to save us from electing a f***ing reptile. Unless that happens, Hillary will not get the nomination on June 7th. Three, Matthews is also admitting that MSNBC's announcement will likely influence the vote in California. He's saying, hey, Jeff, so we're gonna fuck up the vote in California. How you feel about that? Is that cool? Not cool? And Bernie's campaign manager, Jeff Weaver, then tried to explain to Matthews that he has the mental capacity of beef jerky. And that superdelegates are not counted yet.
All we have from superdelegates is essentially a poll. You aren't allocating delegates based on a poll in California, yeah, but you are allocating delegates based on a poll of superdelegates.
Jeff, okay, I don't want to have this conversation.
No. Why would you? I don't want to have this conversation. I don't want to talk about how the entire premise of everything I'm saying is f***ing stupid. Not one bit. MSNBC, are you guys involved in some kind of wager as to whether it's possible for you to make Fox News look smart?
Here's Scott Ledger.
I think you could win.
I don't know if anybody's listening. Are they?
Just by watching TNN, he's learned over 20 Southern dialects.
Scott Ledger.
Dangerous conversation.
Nothing to say about the evil empires. This is just for the Star Wars geek. Nah, I'm just kidding. You know, I play this because I like to talk about mainstream media and their evil desires to dumb down the public, to create massive wedges of discontent and fear and separation, and they're so good at it. And people trust it because they don't want to have to think. Because if I got to think, holy shit, if I got to think about that, if that's wrong, if that one domino is wrong, then all the other dominoes are wrong too. And I'm going to concentrate on my mortgage payment. I got a kid that needs a spleen replacement. So it's a lot to bite off. If you listen to the show, it's because, you know, you got a set. You got a set, and you're curious, and you like to think for yourself, and you probably aren't on Ritalin. I wonder how many people actually listen to this show. Let's do the Ritalin count. Where's my cricket sound effect? Okay, welcome back to Dangerous Conversation, and we are talking tonight about this the concept of what many would call a generational, I don't know, it's not a quantum leap, an evolutionary leap in the brain, the human brain, and what the next generation of humans, which is the future, are experiencing. Are they good at something? Are they extremely good at something? Are they fantasizing? Are they can they really see your aura? The type of questions that I think as more and more people do a documentary, but everybody comes in with their slant, and that's why I wanted to play you a little bit of everything tonight. And we're going to get to an Abraham Hicks speaking engagement with I'm trying to remember the woman's name, but she just does a great way of spelling out from what we'll call the metaphysical side. But Oprah, I mean, you got to remember, this has been a big, I mean, you got million seller books. You have many parents that have an autistic child that suddenly can do math, and you know, they're not Stephen King, but they're not average either. They are special in one place and they seem to lack in another. Is that an evolutionary brain leap? Is that, again, what we've consumed? Is that chemicals? Is that a combination of everything? Is it just simply a couple X and couple Y chromosomes get together and there's a little bit of a change and we're now starting to see it? Because think about this. This has happened throughout the years, okay? Copernicus leads to, what, Galileo, right? Well, before there's a Copernicus, there's a Socrates. I mean, you have thinkers throughout history. How did they come into be? What were they like when they were five? Was Socrates sitting around playing, you know, soccer? I don't know. What were they, Greeks? They probably, you know, discus and all the things you see in those Olympic, I don't know, whatever. Or was he sitting under a tree contemplating the universe and life and existence? I don't know. But I do know that the children nowadays we know about because YouTube brings them to us. Are they special? Are they one of millions of so-called special people? Or are we all special in a unique way, but they kind of stick out a little because they socially, they struggle, but when it comes to other things, they excel, including IQ. 30% of them have an IQ of 130. That's Mensa kind of stuff. That's a lot. Maybe we're just seeing the evolution of consciousness directly connected to the brain, where the experience, where we might communicate, you know, we might be able to move, you know, John Travolta, you know, and boom, and next thing you know, you're making a pen move back and forth without touching it, because somehow you know you're connected to those molecules and those atoms in that pen, and somehow everything's energy and phenomenon. I'm trying to remember the name of the movie. Fascinating movie. Is that what we're seeing? It's fascinating material.
The negative energies or the negative forces come in, as we all, didn't you all think that was brilliant the way you described it? We all, and everybody's been in a situation where you walk into a room and you can just tell what the hell went on in here, because there's a lot of negative stuff going on in here. Hopefully that's not your...
It's a recording of a TV. Don't you love it when people do that? Ugh.
Your job. You don't have to work there all day. But a lot of people are surrounded by the negative energy, and I'm understanding that he is just he's a sensitive energy field that can feel it more strongly than we can. But what happens when those negative energies or forces come upon him and he isn't able to bring on the light quick enough or surround himself in light? Tell me about it.
Like, I've been hurting everybody, like when I have like this bad rage, like I get so mad over the tiniest thing.
Do you know what causes you to be that way?
The negativity, like negative energy send you negative thoughts. Then once you have them and you think them, the negative energies can come into you, then just make you more angrier and angrier.
Does or do the negative energies feel separate from you? The negative energy isn't you, it's separate from you.
Yes, and like when I'm calm and peaceful like I am now, this is the real me.
This is the real you.
When I'm all out of control, well, that's not the real me.
Mm-hmm. And do you, can you tell when the negative energies are coming?
Yes, well, when they're in, I feel, I have tics.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm so like fidgety.
Mm-hmm.
And
the negative energies come, and do they talk to you? Do they speak to you? Do they make you feel a certain way? Tell me how, describe
like
it.
Sometimes sometimes out of the blue, I just hear like a voice that says something. I'm really not sure,
mm-hmm.
but it hasn't happened to me at the hotel. Or here.
All right, that's about as much as I can handle because of the audio quality, but I think you're getting an idea. And here's my theory on what this kid's talking about is, again, I'm not sure if it has anything to do with if thought is energy, okay, and negativity is energy. Like she said, I've walked into a room where there was some arguing going on, or you could feel it. You didn't have to look anybody in the face. You didn't have to ask a question. You didn't have to, you know, notice a silence. You could feel the negativity, or not just negativity, but the conflict, I think is a better word. Because negativity, you can argue with people. It doesn't mean you're being negative. It just means you have a different take. So we'll call it the conflict in the room. You can feel that. I can. Now, if this kid can feel that, is it because his brain is different? And this is the fascinating part to me. Are they more sensitive to things that are bouncing off of my brain right now because my brain's just not there yet? My brain will be born, you know, if I follow my reincarnation, you know, let's say I make it 20 more years and then I reincarnate 10 years after that. Well, in 2030, I'm born into, we'll call it, well, I don't know, 2050, nice round number, right? And suddenly I'm born into a brain that's hypersensitive, so sensitive. Think about this for a second. That it's not just a sadness or an emotion or what he calls negativity. Suddenly I am so in tune that I can sense the energy in the atoms in a pen. And I know they're there and I can sense them. That's phenomenon. That's John Travolta's quantum leap. And they, you know, they literally say a tumor is growing in his brain. But the weird thing is instead of the tumor killing parts of his brain, it's actually igniting or lighting up parts of their brain. By the way, fascinating study just came out about MRIs on people on LSD and watch the brain activity. I'll put it both on Facebook. I already put it on Facebook. I don't think I put it on Twitter. Because if we're all just a chemical reaction and their chemicals are slightly different than mine and they're born into a world and maybe it's the chemicals they're ingesting, maybe it's mom's pregnancy, maybe she was exposed to too much aluminum from drinking 12 sodas a day, maybe it's aspartame. I don't know what the fuck it is. And anybody that can't come at you with real scientific numbers to prove it is going to have to go, geez, they're indigo children. They're the next generation. They're leading, and I go, they might be something we're creating. Or it could be generational. Or it literally could just be a good old quantum leap of a couple chromosomes in a being called Homo sapien on planet Earth. Or it could be all of the things taking place at the same time. And that's what I want to kind of get to for the last half hour of the show. If you know me, you'll know that I am firmly convinced in my own world, and I hope I apply it to me, that I am a permanent piece of consciousness on the Scott ride. I am not a human being having a spiritual experience. I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. That's my take. And when I look at it, and when I put it into things like circular patterns of things like reincarnation, a lot of things make sense. There's purpose in sadness. There's purpose in greed. There's purpose in the Hitlers of the world. There are purposes for things taking place. Religion kind of takes that and turns it dogmatic and then goes into you're being punished or you're not good enough. But someone who equates themselves to there's probably a scientific explanation to the why these children are the way they are. And if we think about it, and this is what we're going to play next, we'll do some stop and start here for the next half hour, is what if both is taking place? What if both the brain is changing and the children that are being born and they have changed brains and they are acting differently and some are what we call gifted and some are what we call stunted and ADHD? Now, don't forget, Big Pharma wants to sell pills. And sometimes in good old Mabel B. Avery School in Summers, Connecticut, good old 8-year-old Scott got sent home with a note because he wouldn't want to pay attention in class because all I wanted to do was run around and play kickball. Because I was 8. Thank God there were no pills back then. The question of indigo children. Here we go.
I have a question about indigo children. I suspect my son is part of that, what they call now indigo children. I wanted to get Abraham's opinion or take on it.
What's the definition that you are hearing from those who are assigning the labels?
From my understanding, an indigo children, they were born in a certain time frame from, I believe, 1975 to the turn of the century. I've also read that they have two...
Are they not still coming?
I don't know. I'm hearing yes, but that's from my understanding. And they're supposed to have two extra genes. And my son has always been very different. And he's going to be 20 this month. And he's having a really hard time, excuse me, I'm nervous, about his differences. He's able to take on a lot of other people's energies, and it affects him. He tends to know, he'll tell me what will happen next, and it happens. That's been going on since he was like in third or fourth grade, so I'm wondering how can I understand this more?
Yes, please document it. If anybody in the listening range of this show, or if you know someone who says their child is this way, recommend this show, get them to start documenting behaviors. I don't mean stick a camera in their face 24/7, but I mean don't be afraid to set it up somewhere and just ask them a few questions at the dinner table and get them to say something. I believe this will happen and I've seen this. The more research that can be done on the individual basis and then compiled, was it Stevenson's book on reincarnation? Fascinating book. It's like one of the first I read in the late 90s. I think he was out of South Carolina, University of South Carolina. 20 years or 30 years, he goes over to all the third world countries and starts interviewing people about children that were saying they were reborn, that they remembered who they were ahead of, you know, my name is not, you know, my name is not Hannah. My name is Ebok, or, you know, because they still remember that previous life. Well, this guy did about 30 years of research, and the book is fascinating. That's what we need to happen now. The stories are great. They're inspirational. They can be uplifting. They can certainly be controversial, and they can make you curious as hell, and that's a great thing. I like doing these kind of shows. But please, please document anything. Now, this woman's explanation, I think, does a great job of not just explaining what these children might be, but what you are and what I am and what the previous people before us are and what the people after us might be. It's a little touchy-feely and new agey, but I think she does a hell of a job of tying this together.
Often, someone will note a person or a segment of the population and assign a label about particular characteristics. And then as the label becomes more and more recognized, then the characteristics become more and more recognized because law of attraction makes that so, doesn't it? In other words, all of you, everyone who is physically focused, is an extension of source energy. And all of you have come forth with this energy flowing through you, which you are allowing to varying degrees. And the more you allow a conscious awareness and therefore alignment with that energy, then the more actively you're able to utilize the energy. Everyone is creating their own reality, but most people are doing it by default because they're flowing vibration all over the place and they don't realize that they're doing it. And so they're like corks on a raging sea, sort of just bobbing about with no control. So over time,
just throw a little quantum mechanics in there. Interesting. Again, I didn't want the whole 2-hour segment to be what metaphysical people are thinking, what people are thinking about energy and consciousness, and consciousness being pure energy and it finding its way into a slower and slower vibration, which creates form, and then you have solid matter, and that's where we are. But essentially, if it were to speed itself back up, it goes all the way back to source, and she talks about source energy. So think of that as, I don't know, the God spark. Think of that as, Nirvana, home base. I think that's because she uses the phrase a lot, and that's why I wanted to, because she does use the phrase a lot.
And we're going to give you the complete understanding of what this label means and far more than that, but we're going to build a little basis of it here first. So you've been hearing us today talk about, so your source energy, and you express yourself into the physical, and that in the physical format, the contrast causes you to expand and evolve and become, and that the larger part of you becomes it. And when you allow yourself to reach for the better feeling thoughts, you let you keep up with you. We like those words so much. You in the physical form, keeping up with the you that you were before you were born and the you that you've become since being in this physical body. And then we've talked about the separation, too strong a word, between who you're letting yourself be and who you really are in any moment. And that's what your emotions are telling you. So then when you croak, you close that gap. When you're first born, you're one stream of consciousness. There's no separation. And even as that infant, you separate just a little bit, just by your association with physical life. Then you go to sleep. As infants, you sleep a lot and you close that gap. You wake up, you widen it a little. The longer you're in your physical body, the more you acclimate to that gap. The longer you live, the more you find things to fuss and worry about, and the more you widen the gap. When you meditate, you close the gap. When you come out of meditation, your gap is usually closed for a while until you begin to focus back onto things that you're fussing and worrying about. When you slumber, you close the gap. When you go to sleep, when you wake up, you widen the gap. So this relationship between you and you is an ongoing process.
You and you, the origin of you, in other words, the authentic you, what many people consider pure consciousness, the real you versus the you are currently being, Tom, Dick, or Harry. I know it gets a little fuzzy feeling and stuff, and it, believe me, I've been around it for about 20 years now. But they have a tendency sometimes to really just motor through this kind of stuff. And it's essentially, you know, religion would say the difference between your body and your soul. Okay. So when she says you and you, just remember the you that is forever and the you that is temporary. And right now you're into the temporary you. And she's talking about the older you get, the more you forget about the real you, because this version, this journey, this adventure can consume you.
Yes, it's something that all of you are experiencing, and every emotion that you feel is your indication of how closed or open, how much allowing or disallowing, how much allowing or resistance you've got going on in any point in time. When you have what humans call your death experience, you close that gap. Now, this is the thing that we really want you to hear. So all that you've lived and all that this life has caused you to become, once you have your death experience, you become it. And it is from that evolved, expanded vantage point that you make the decision to come back again.
Okay, she just said you died and you became, in other words, if I'm Scott and I died, I'm dying as Scott. Now, Scott, or the thing that is Scott, all the, you know, not necessarily the physical part of Scott,
But the personality, the sense of humor, the kindness, the lack thereof, the anger, the temperament, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of those things I take forward. In other words, I'm born in, you know, reincarnation. Now, I don't know if I buy this, and it's very, very hard to prove it. But the reason this is important in tonight's conversation is, what if these children are a little bit of proof of the theory of reincarnation? What if they're done being the boring, dull guy who wore the gray suit to work every year in 1956 and worked for General Electric, and now they're born a virtuoso with bright blue eyes and attention deficit disorder? What if what we would call the soul, the metaphysical, the permanence, whatever phrase you want to use, is on one side of that veil directly connected to the opposite side, the physical? This could explain indigo children. Or the label, and this is what I think she does a great job of breaking down, that you and I and everybody technically are indigo children. Even if we just learned something from the day we were born and we passed it on, we are creating a different paradigm. And I think, you know, because, again, this is only audio. I understand there are some charts being shown and stuff. But, you know, I wanted to make sure we visit this part of this conversation, because for a lot of people, and that includes your host, I do see the connection. And it makes sense. And that's part of the reason I subscribe to that fact. That almost in a pantheistic way, that everything is this energy or God or whatever you want to call it. And it's all just experiencing itself subjectively, like Bill Hicks would say. Or you are conscious energy using form for experience. It's one of my new favorite sentences. That's why I subscribe to that.
So each time you reemerge, you come from that vantage point. That's why there's a generation gap. That's why your babies understand the computers when you don't. In other words, they're coming from this evolved point of consciousness. Now, of course, they need to learn the ways of the human life. They have to grow up into their body. They have to get some teeth and some hair, and they have to get mobile. In other words, there's a lot that they have to learn from you. But the thing that they do not need to learn from you are all the pitfalls that you've been carrying around wanting to teach them. Human parents are so interesting. Your little ones are born in this.
Yeah, it's defiance. See what I mean? If your dad was Archie Bunker, wouldn't you be at least a little defiant? Wouldn't you say, no, I don't agree with that? Well, see, that's a disease. That's what Big Pharma wants to numb. They don't want that person being born into an experience where mom and dad are fucked up and they want to break a cycle. That's, you got to be defiant to do that. And that's what she's talking about. I'm going to back that up just a bit. It's very important.
That they have to learn from you. But the thing that they do not need to learn from you are all the pitfalls that you've been carrying around wanting to teach them. Human parents are so interesting. Your little ones are born, and as soon as you think they're comprehending, you begin to give to them one by one all of the things that are wrong with the world in an attitude of, I will protect you if you know about these things. And this is just the list of a few thousand bad things that have happened to me over my lifetime, but I have many more archives of bad things that have happened to others that I want to teach you about in order to. And what happens, these little ones coming in, they are pure positive energy in the sense that they know the clarity of their being, and they know the well-being of their being, you see. Well, now getting to the subject that you're bringing to us. Because of this intensity of contrast, in other words, there is more contrast happening on your planet than ever before, and that's logical because it is the most expanded.
She has said your species in your planet, so I'm, you know, I'm just saying, you know, the radio personality part of me.
Version of this physical experience that has ever been. So the contrast, of course, is greater. When the contrast is greater, it means that the asking is greater. When the asking is greater, it means that the answering is greater. So this is the time of awakening. This is the time when there are more asking and there are more answering. The question is, are those who are asking in a vibrational place to hear the answers that they are listening for? Well, these children being born are hearing the answers. They're born with the answers. In other words, they're coming in knowing that those that are being born today are coming knowing everything that all of you have been asking about. Future generations will benefit dramatically by the contrast you all are living, just as you are benefiting dramatically by the contrast that previous generations have lived. What we are talking about here in this gathering is how you can be in your generation, exploring your contrast, giving birth to your desires, and becoming a vibrational match to what you have given birth to. And there are many energies coming forth who fall into the many different categories. In other words, sometimes they're called indigo children. Sometimes they're called autistic children. Sometimes they're called homosexual or gay. And we're not saying that all of those categories are overlapping. We're saying that large numbers of energies coming in are coming with this new determination to be unconformable.
I love that word. Remember what the doctor called it earlier? If you're unconformable, good for you. You won't be joining some army to go kill people you've never met and put your own ass on the line. There's no way an unconformable person will be willing to surrender all of themselves to something that is so questionable at this point in our lives right now. And that is the wars. If you're unconformable, you probably might not make the football team, even though you might have the skill set. Unconformable people can be very difficult to put into a group and say, you're all going to act this way and face this blackboard, and you're going to write and you're going to use margins and yada, yada, yada. That person's brain, that person's mind is going, ah, look at that, it's new. Wow, let's try this. They are never, ever going to be, you know, George Orwell numbnuts in 1984, all the people that are just walking in the same line every day and wearing the same thing and what Roddy Piper sees through the glasses and they live. And if that's what an indigo child is, fucking A, good for them. Absolutely.
...are coming with this new determination to be unconformable. Because they're noticing that most people are easily convinced against their inner knowing to be different than they naturally want to be. And more are coming forth, and that's why we ask you, do you think that it has stopped? Because there is much more of an influx of that kind of strong energy today than ever before. It has not stopped. It is stronger now than ever before. We're not really big on cataloging and pigeonholing anyone. We think it's wonderful when people are intuitive, and we think it's a wonderful thing that your child has always shown signs of that and that you have readily acknowledged it. But we would not put a label of indigo child on anyone. Instead, we would say, you have come forth from source energy, and whether you were born 80 or 100 years ago, or whether you were born 12 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 5 years ago, or yesterday, you all are extensions of source energy, and that energy that is coming forth to all of you is, you see, here's the thing that we really, we so want you to hear this. This energy stream that's coming forth is available to all of you. The same energy stream that is feeding these new, what you were calling indigo children, is the same thing that is feeding all of the resistant old ones that are not allowed. In other words, everyone has access to this same stream. You're just noting that there's more willingness to allow the stream in those that you are labeling. It doesn't mean that they're special and that the stream is being offered uniquely to them. It means that they are in a better place of allowing the stream than most others.
Basically, they're not fucked in the head yet. They haven't been driven into myopic, get along, go along, be what you're told to be, like conformity. I'm a rocker. I love rock music.
part of that was I was raised Catholic. I don't even have to tell you about the next story right on down the line about the abuse in that dogmatic religion that is again being buried and then, of course, surfaces because they're trying to control people, tell them who God is or what God is, what they should touch, what they shouldn't touch. That's what made me. And rock music was like, fuck that. And I was like, you know, playing Skinner and Zeppelin and Black Sabbath in my room when I was 12, 13, with the headphones on. But there was the nonconformist in me that said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's put a little intellectual thought into what's going on. Well, what happens is you go through, I don't know, 2 decades, 3 decades, 4 decades, and you're all conformist. And I see you on Facebook all the time, and you have like 8 thoughts, you know, guns, God, and whatever. And you know what? You're never going to break out of that shell because you don't want to. You don't listen to this show. This show is for the opposite people. The people that actually are sick of being bullshitted and go, you know what? Let's strip away the old varnish. Let's get back to that original wood, just like the 5-year-old's mind. That's the beauty in it. That's the beauty in being 55 years old and going, that's full of shit. Look into it. And if you don't, you know what? Don't waste my time. Because this show's not for you, and I'm not the guy that's going to sit there and humor you because you're 300 years behind the times. Or 500, or 2,000, or whatever it is. And these little kids coming in, now maybe it's brain chemistry, maybe it's food intake, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's a shift in the polarity of the planet, maybe it's a total harmonic convergence, maybe it's all of those things, maybe they're all interconnected. A lot of people like to say that. You know what? All I'm fascinated by right now is the idea that there's an awful lot of young children in this planet that are conscious at a very early age and really wanting to help. How cool is that? Now, do they always exist? Maybe. Maybe we just know about them because of Dangerous Conversation and the internet and RadioInfluence.com. And maybe that's because they've always existed, or there is some kind of cool shift taking place. And I think the latter. I've always said this. I think it's an unbelievably fascinating time to be alive. If you look back hundreds and hundreds of years through history and, you know, the newspaper and the telegraph, and but for the most part, people were very isolated. And their isolated worlds were their entire world. And God bless it, it was meant to be. But you know what? I'm not so isolated. And I love it when some type of bullshitter or megalomaniac or asshole gets literally just taken to the woodshed. And I love it when someone comes in and goes, my child's special. Well, I know. Every child's special. You love your children. I get it. But you know what? There's something to this. And I think this woman's right. I think they're just not tainted. They're coming in like fresh, malleable. It's awesome. I hope there's hundreds or thousands of them being born every day on planet Earth. And maybe they are the game changers. And maybe someday one of them levitates or, I don't know, walks through a fucking wall. I'm not saying that can't happen. I'm just saying it would be a quantum leap if it did. But if you were to look at the timeline of who we are and how we got to where we are now, and you look back to the example I gave you early in the show, that we were still, you know, eating raw meat, and suddenly they discovered fire, and fire kept animals away, and it kept a tribal, and it kept communication, and most importantly, they cooked their proteins, and it took far less energy for their body to digest red raw meat, and suddenly their brains grew. All because they discovered fire and the indirect connection, or technically, I would guess maybe it is a direct connection, was the intelligence quotient in Homo sapiens shot up. And who's to say we're not at another one of those times?
Maybe it's video games. Johnny's brain's going to rot. No, Johnny's going at 10,000 miles an hour on the computer now because of video games. I don't know. I can't say it's not. But is it metaphysically connected to what this woman calls ultimate source or home source? I'm going to let her go for about another 90, and then, Christ, we might even break early tonight and finish it up.
Woman sat in a chair not long ago. She said, "My child has a question for you, Abraham. Why are grown-ups so grumpy?" And we said, "Because the longer you live, the more you find to fuss and worry about, the more you use as your excuse not to allow yourself to be a vibrational match to who you really are." And so it isn't that the indigo children are unique in that they have more access to more energy. It is that they have less resistance to the energy that you all have access to. That's the best way of stating it. And that's what they've come to teach. They've come to teach ease. They've come to teach not sweating the small stuff. They've come to teach no longer fussing and worrying. They're teaching clarity of focus. That's their strongest gift to you. And think about what that means. Often that means that often they are labeled both autistic or indigo. And the reason is because they are born with a determination not to be easily conformed by you outside influencers who think you've got all the answers that they were born with. They're born knowing what you've forgotten, and it's rather annoying that you keep thinking that you've got the answers that you've forgotten when they still remember them. And the reason
I got to play that again. I know she goes fast, but it's vital.
Is because they are born with a determination not to be easily conformed by.
Okay, that part.
You, by you, outside influencers who.
Have you noticed what people say about not Gen Xers, but millennials? They're so defiant. They're so defiant. Maybe because they could smell the bullshit. And maybe the internet, made a lot of people wise. I know it woke up millions when it came to something as fucking obvious as 9/11. If you can't go down that road, you're listening to the wrong show. But I can tell you, 19-year-olds will go, "Well, let me see, that happened 15 years ago. I have no emotional connection to 9/11. I can look at it like a ninth grade physics teacher would look at it and go, "That's bullshit. That's impossible. Buildings can't do that. They don't fall into their own. They take the path of least resistance. That is physically impossible without explosives." I don't have to be a genius to come to that conclusion. I just don't have to be tainted by the emotion of the past. And maybe that's what these kids are. And listen, let her go. Here we go.
Think you've got all the answers that they were born with. They're born knowing what you've forgotten.
They're born knowing what you've forgotten. Believe me, having been raised Catholic, there's some things that stuck. And one of them was associated with the character known as Jesus when he said, "Be like children." World's, beats us up. You're listening to a podcast right now. You're probably busting your ass, working your ass off, or worrying about a bill or a medical condition. And yeah, be like children. I wish I could go to a playground and watch kids play, but nowadays everyone's worried about molesters and shit because they're over paranoid. So I can't just sit in a park and watch little 5-year-olds run around. I can, but I have to bring my dog and play with my dog from a safe distance. That's how jaded we are as adults. That's what we've been told the world is. Even though it's a microcosm, it's blown way out of. I'm not saying that molesters don't exist. I'm not saying that's not an issue. I'm saying that I can't go up to and watch a kid on a swing who's 3 years old without the mom giving me a dirty look like, "Who are you and why are you looking at my kid?" You want to talk about jaded? You want to talk about scared? You want to talk about frightened? You want to talk about contraction? Contraction. coming in, closing the doors, closing the windows, shutting off the contact with people that you might actually have a conversation with. When I go, you know what? I remember pushing my daughter when she was 4 in a swing. She had that same look of joy in her face. I would like to tell that woman that, but I can't, because she's so jaded already that she's forgotten. Abraham Hicks, I know it's a cool name for a lady, but the woman's pretty spot on from time to time.
They're born knowing what you've forgotten, and it's rather annoying that you keep thinking that you've got the answers that you've forgotten when they still remember them.
Okay, it's complicated, but she's basically saying they're already born knowing what they need to know. And you're so jaded, twisted, and fucked up that now you're going to spill your poison on what is this. Essentially, it's kind of like they come in as this beautiful piece of teak wood, and then you're just coating them with layers and layers of lacquer. Protect, protect, protect. And, you know, eventually you lose the design in the wood. You lose the beauty of the original. That's what she's saying. And maybe that's all Indigo children are. They're just maybe just reminders on what the fuck we should be.
It's sort of the difference between the action-oriented world that we were talking about earlier and the inspirational world. In other words, so much struggle among humandom, humankind would have been kinder, so much struggle among that human mortal experience has caused a sort of pessimism that permeates most of your experience, and the fresh new ones don't have that. And then you sort of have this battle of the pessimistic versus the optimistic, and who will win. And usually the pessimistic win, because they've got all the facts of reality to back them up. Look at this, and all the optimistic new ones have is a feeling. And those with the facts of what's gone wrong just sort of smear their facts all over the place and say, you can't possibly maintain your optimism with all of this reality that we have to show you. And yet, you know who keeps winning? The optimistic. There's this dilution ratio that is so wonderful, where the old ornery ones keep croaking and re-emerging back into pure positive energy, and the new knowing ones keep being born, and then those like you, formerly old and ornery, who come into alignment. All is very well and getting weller.
I've seen old people sitting in parks, and sometimes I see an amazing amount of sadness on their face. And I think it's regret. And they realize that they just became this negative, angry, fearful, poisoned person. And I know a couple, unfortunately. And I love them. And I see it in them, and it saddens me. But you know what I also know? Hang on a second. I also know I got some audio playing in the background. I also know that I've seen a lot of those elderly people that are full of vigor and full of energy and love of life, and they're squeezing that lemon all the way to the edge, and they bounce their grandchildren on their knee, and they're just unspoiled. That's my goal. I'm 55. I am certainly unspoiled, and I will not become the negative energy. I won't be that person. There's no reason to. And when it comes to all the newbies coming in and they're 4, 5, 6 years old and they're spouting things they shouldn't know, I think we should pay attention. I don't know if it needs to be labeled. I don't know if it needs to be verified as some type of miracle. But I do know wisdom is wisdom, whether it comes from someone 93 or someone 3. You guys have a good night.
This is a Breakfast with Blassie Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Donald Trump did a rally in New Mexico, and New Mexico by far has the most Hispanic concentration of any state in the United States. Okay. Now, we all know about Donald Trump's controversial comments talking about Mexico doesn't bring their best. They bring rapists. They bring drugs. And then he, at the end, you know, tried to catch himself and said, and some people could be good, too. I totally, totally thought that comment was a little bit inappropriate. Okay. He could have explained it a little bit better. But obviously, he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And a lot of Hispanics are not thrilled with Donald Trump at all. Okay. What I think a lot of Hispanics need to understand is that if Donald Trump is elected president and he's going to try to create jobs, he's going to try to create jobs for everybody, not just white, not just black, not just Hispanic, for everybody. Equal opportunity. Okay. Equal opportunity employer, equal opportunity abuser. You know, his style. All right. I don't think anyone, whether you're Mexican, Italian, black, white, Muslim, I don't think anybody should have an objection with him building a wall to separate the new Mexico border with U.S. so it stops the crazy amount of drug trafficking that comes in and illegal immigration that crossed the borders. Okay. I'm not talking about sending illegal immigrants back. I'm just talking about the wall itself. I don't think anybody should really be pissed off about that. Listening to Hillary Clinton say, instead of building walls, we should be building bridges. You know, there's a lot of PC bullshit going on. But as far as the wall itself, I don't think anybody should have an objection to it. Now, I've already voiced my comments on the illegal immigration. I totally disagree with Donald Trump. I don't think... And I'm going to make a prediction. I've made it before. I predict Donald Trump will not set up something where he, sends every 9 million, whatever it is, deports every illegal immigrant across the border. All right. But when I saw what I saw yesterday, hundreds upon hundreds of Hispanics demonstrators in New Mexico throwing rocks, throwing Donald Trump merchandise on fire, injuring horses, injuring cops, injuring people because you don't like Donald Trump, you are 10 times more wrong than anything Donald Trump ever said. Okay? The reason why this happens now, everyone, is because look, it's not a direct correlation, but it's the same mindset. When you're coddled and you get your way growing up all throughout life, that everybody gets a trophy and you can't do this and, you know, you can't offend and, you know, you can't criticize and you no longer go with, it's, you know, not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you bring yourself up. Nowadays, you get knocked down, everybody's supposed to help you up. So when you always are assisted with the outcome, now you got something that is totally out of your hands. Donald Trump, Republican nominee, a huge number of Americans that are just totally fed up with the current government, all right, Republican, Democrat alike, and they are worried about Donald Trump becoming president. No longer peaceful protest is enough. No longer, writing blogs and, you know, trying to voice your opinion and doing videos and having groups get together and, you know, do rallies against them. Now it's let's disrupt rallies. Let's yell and try to interrupt him. Let's throw rocks. Let's throw lit up objects. Let's injure people because they don't know how else to react. This is totally out of their hands.
Breakfast with Blassie can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and RadioInfluence.com.